Hello, this is Jesse Liberty, and this is yet another podcast. I have Ted Neward. Ted's an internationally recognized speaker. He's an independent consultant specializing in Java and .NET and the author or co-author of several books on Java and C#. His most recent blog posting, however, is the inspiration for today's podcast. This is the second in our series of speculating on the implications of Microsoft's acquisition of Xamarin. Ted, how are you?
I'm doing well. How are you doing, Jesse?
Well, actually, I have a cold, as you may be able to tell, so I'm going to let you do most of the talking today.
That's all right. That's usually not a problem. As a matter of fact, when I'm at home, it's usually a fight for my family to get me to stop talking. So this should not be a problem.
Yeah, I'm hoping I can just set you off and you'll go from...
Be careful what you wish for. It may be 45 minutes and you may be thinking, okay, stop, stop, stop. Yeah.
I have the stop button right here. No problem. So, Microsoft acquires Xamarin. I mean, that's got to be the headline of the year so far.
Well, you know, it's a short year so far. But, you know, in many respects, it's probably a headline that should have run somewhere around, you know, 2012 or 2013. I mean, in many respects, this is a long overdue move by Microsoft. And, you know, I think it was 2 years ago, even I was, you know, in my annual predictions saying, you know, Microsoft will acquire Xamarin because it just makes way too much sense for them to do so. There's really, in many respects, there's not a lot of advantages to the community for Xamarin to remain a separate entity. So I suspect that there was probably some movement, you know, way back when Microsoft or Xamarin probably approached the other and said, hey, how about this? And they probably just couldn't come to agreement on the terms, or the only other thing I can think of is that Microsoft maybe thought that they were, you know, that they were still going to pursue perhaps their own strategy. I don't know why this didn't happen 3 years ago, but I'm certainly glad that it finally happened. I think it's a long overdue move.
Well, from my perspective, the biggest positive here is if it ensures the long-term, and in this industry, I mean 3 to 5 years, success and continuation of the Xamarin toolset.
I think, quite frankly, that this acquisition didn't necessarily, I don't think that guarantees it. Remember, this is Microsoft. This is the company that acquired Kin, right, long before the Windows phone. They acquired a pretty successful smartphone platform and then promptly ran it into the ground. I mean, they just really screwed the pooch on that. So as much as you and I and everybody else wants to, you know, we want to believe, we want to see this be a successful acquisition, you have to remember that, you know, it is certainly possible for Microsoft to screw the pooch. And in some respects, if the goal there was we want to see the continued survivability of Xamarin, in some respects, you know, from that perspective, it made more sense for Xamarin to remain a separate company, because it's pretty clear that their valuation was only going up. They kept hiring, they kept growing, they kept seeing more and more people doing stuff with them. You know, in some respects, I think that's part of the reason why Microsoft acquired Xamarin now. It was, you know, acquiring it 2 years from now could have been even more expensive. So, you know, I don't think there's really any danger of Xamarin going away. It may not be recognizable in its current form, however, when we look at it 3 years from now. In some respects, it makes tremendous sense for Microsoft to take the Xamarin team, put them as part of Visual Studio, and just make these as project templates inside of Visual Studio. And, you know, Xamarin Studio becomes Visual Studio Macintosh Edition. I mean, they'll just, you know, break everything up and just make it all Microsoft. I don't know. Right. We'll see.
That's an interesting question. Do they take the product and break it up, and do they take the team and break them up, different parts of it?
I think, very frankly, they'll do both. You know, one of the things about big company, small company acquisitions like this is usually they go in one of two forms. Either A, big company acquires small company for the branding and the product name and so forth. You know, case in point, for example, I just saw a tweet yesterday while I was driving. Well, I should say while my wife was driving. I don't read Twitter while I'm physically driving. But I noticed that Samsung, the luggage manufacturer, is in talks to acquire Tumi, right? The computer laptop bag manufacturer. That's a case where they will probably keep the Tumi brand alive because it has a tremendous amount of brand recognition and value to it. And quite frankly, it's in Samsung's best interests to do so. Microsoft, I think, is going to go the other way, which is to say what they really want is the technology, right? The Xamarin brand name really, I don't think, is why people use Xamarin. They use it because I can write C-sharp and then I can compile my code for iOS and Android. And that's what I really, really want to do. So I think it makes much more sense for Xamarin to effectively be broken into its constituent atoms and then added to the, you know, giant, you know, chemical formula that is Microsoft. So I think the guys that are working on the ahead of time compiler will likely, you know, find somewhere in the Visual Studio environment, you know, they will be, you know, they may be their own team inside of VS. I think the guys who worked on the C-sharp compilers and so forth, they'll probably find themselves as a part of DevDiv, you know, in the C-sharp team working on Roslyn or whatnot. I think the Xamarin University guys will probably end up somewhere over in the same space that we see Channel 9 and so forth. You know, I think just in general, it makes more sense for all of this to become Microsoft and for the Xamarin brand, for all intents and purposes, to disappear. And I don't get me wrong, I don't think that's a bad state of affairs, because to keep both brands, I think, could be confusing to people who are non-technical.
And no, I was just going to say, certainly in terms of people feeling secure and comfortable in making an investment, Microsoft has many pluses and minuses, but nobody expects it's going to go away. Whereas right. Xamarin is certainly a stable and growing company, but it doesn't have the kind of roots that Microsoft.
Yeah, well, there's an old saying from years ago that nobody ever got fired for buying IBM. Right. And Microsoft is in that same category, right? If you're a CTO, you know, or you're a vice president of technology or what have you, and you've decided that the company is going to move to the Microsoft stack, you know, nobody's going to fault you for choosing Microsoft, because it is. It's a Fortune 50 company, and they've got, you know, they've got space everywhere. I mean, you know, they're not going bankrupt tomorrow, but very, you know, I won't say few, but certainly the percentage of technology management individuals who recognize the Xamarin name is much, much smaller than those who recognize the Microsoft name. So it does create an aura of stability and permanence to this product that perhaps wasn't there before outside of the immediate developer community. So, and quite frankly, you know, that's why it's obviously a good thing for Xamarin to have been acquired by Microsoft. And the flip side, Microsoft now has a direct player who's been there for a number of years on both the Windows, on both the iOS and Android side, excuse me. And it's a well-established set of engineering. You know, they can't, you know, Apple certainly can't turn around and say, oh, well, we're not going to allow this development product on our platform because make up some reason here, because they've been there now for so many years. And quite frankly, I think a lot of the hot shooting wars between Apple and Microsoft are probably kind of over at this point anyway. I think both sides are beginning to realize that there's a lot more money to be made by working together than working at opposition to one another. And, you know, the Android world is so open source oriented that even if Google wanted to kick Microsoft out, they couldn't. So, you know, this gives Microsoft a huge inroad into the mobile space, far more in many respects than they ever had with Windows Phone. And this is a deal that, quite frankly, is nothing but win-win for both sides. And assuming there's no major screw up in terms of execution of the teams merging and whatnot, I think it's going to be win-win-win for Microsoft, Xamarin, and the community of .NET developers as a whole. So, yeah, again, it's kind of like, why didn't we do this 2 years ago? Why did we wait so long? Yes.
So let me take you in a slightly different direction. Is this the death knell for Windows Phone?
Well, Windows Phone already, there had been a report that Windows Phone already was being unsupported, right? That effectively Windows Phone was going away. I think I saw that like a month or two ago. And if, I mean, in some respects, that makes sense if Microsoft is acquiring Xamarin, because quite honestly, and when I wrote the blog post, there are a number of people who commented, and, you know, I said something along the lines of, you know, a Windows phone and the five people using them may be upset. And, you know, a bunch of people are, my wife has a Windows phone. She loves it. You know, I can't stand iOS or Android. You know, the community of Windows phone users is obviously somewhat upset about this, but yes, I think Windows phone dies. And quite frankly, if I'm Satya Nadella, I'm going to have some very, very, very difficult conversations with the people underneath me. Should Microsoft even be in the phone space to begin with? And quite frankly, it's my opinion that no, they really shouldn't, largely because Microsoft is not a hardware company. You know, you look around at all the stuff they do, the closest they get to being a hardware company is selling Xboxes and mice and keyboards, right? And, you know, I just don't think that they can continue to look on at Windows 10 and as an operating system moving into the tablet space. I don't want them to give up on mobility entirely. But even so, this is a company that fights on so many different fronts. I mean, literally, there is no other technology company on the planet that fights across so many different fronts as they do. Giving up on one and recouping some of the losses and bringing some of that expertise out of Windows Phone and into other parts of the company, just shut down one of your two dozen different battlefronts. And there's no shame in that. There's no, you know, how much money, how many billions of dollars should Microsoft throw at the mobile phone space and lose before they finally say, you know, that this would just be good money after bad. Let's just get out of this market. Yeah, Apple and Android, they win. Let's just be some of the best development tools on those two platforms and work it that way.
Well, absolutely. But let me play devil's advocate for a minute.
Sure.
Which is that until Xamarin, or in the absence of Xamarin, the case to developers for making a Windows Phone application is impossible. There's just not enough of a market. But you could imagine Microsoft saying, well, what do we see? We see that people build for iOS and Android, and then if they can, you know, somehow convince themselves, they'll build for Windows Phone. What if we made it virtually free to build for Windows Phone once you've built for iOS and Android, which is what Xamarin essentially does? And so I could imagine that Xamarin actually ends up resuscitating some of the market for developing for Windows Phone, because the cost of entry has just become virtually zero once you're already building for the other platform.
I think there's two flaws with that argument. Right. First of all, only two, but I think they're two big ones. The first thing is there have already been tools that allowed you to build for Android, iOS, and Windows Phone simultaneously, and they didn't save Windows Phone. And yes, I'm thinking of things like, you know, Apache Cordova, Corona. I'm thinking of Appcelerator Titanium, you know, the Telerik native script stuff. There's a ton of tools out there that will allow you to cross-compile over all of these different platforms. And yet, that wasn't saving Windows Phone. Now, you can argue that, well, you know, the major players that already had apps on Android and iOS, you know, Evernote and so forth, they they don't want to rewrite their applications in those HTML, CSS, JavaScript toolkits, or the experience wasn't as great or what have you. But that takes you to the second argument, which is simply to say that, you know, part of what Xamarin did is, at least in the early stages, they weren't attempting to be a cross-compiler toolkit, right? When you built an Android application Yes. using Xamarin, you were compiling activities the same way that a Java guy was. And you, when you were building an iOS application, you were creating view controllers the same way that an Objective-C or a Swift developer was. They weren't attempting to paper over the platform with some framework level abstraction. They were just using a different language by which to do the same things that iOS or Android developers were doing. And for that reason, it wasn't a free transition over to Windows Phone, because on Windows Phone, you had to do XAML and you had to do all of the various .NET things. And later, Xamarin came out with Xamarin Forms, which was a framework designed to hide the differences across the various platforms. But again, we've already seen that. We've seen people try to do that. We've seen, I mean, it's it, the mobile space, it's not the first time people have tried to do that either. I remember being a C++ developer back in the early 90s when we had cross-platform C++ toolkits. And what you ended up with was an application that really didn't look like it belonged anywhere. You know, they were not universally successful by any stretch of the imagination. 8 years later, I watched Java developers try to build Swing applications that ran across all these different desktop operating systems. And it really was the same thing all over again. Java later came out and created their own sort of platform independent look and feel, what they called just the Swing look and feel. And quite frankly, you know, again, Java certainly didn't take over the world in terms of you know, building user interfaces. I think for the most part, anytime somebody has tried to create a user interface that runs simultaneously, that, you know, the same code base, cross compiling across all these different user interfaces, it tends not to look all that well. So
yes, one of the founders of Xamarin is quoted as saying some years ago, write once, run everywhere is a unicorn.
Exactly, right. And quite honestly, the Java developers, you know, although we tended not to say this outside of our own circles, lest it be used against us, you know, a lot of Java developers understood that write once, run anywhere meant write once, debug everywhere.
Right.
And it was not nearly as smooth, seamless, and flawless as, you know, as certainly marketing folks always wanted it to sound. So, you know, the idea that Xamarin somehow is going to lead to a resurgence in Windows Phone, that only happens if they start pushing Xamarin Forms down everybody's throat. And quite frankly, that would also imply that people who have built applications on iOS and Android are willing to rewrite their applications in Xamarin just so that they can turn around and have a Windows Phone app, which there's not enough people. Very bluntly, there's just not enough consumers in the Windows Phone consumer space to justify doing that, or they'd have written a Windows Phone version long before now.
Right.
Yeah, there's just, you know, Windows Phone, if Microsoft goes into the phone space, Microsoft has to make sure that Windows Phone has such a compelling feature that it makes up for the fact that there aren't the suite of applications on Windows Phone that people are accustomed to. Or Microsoft needs to do what they should have done from the very beginning and go to all of those different companies that have those consumer applications, you know, Evernote, Yelp, Meetup, whomever, and say, look, here's a pile of money. We will subsidize the creation of a Windows Form version of your application on our platform. You know, we'll even make it a profit exercise for you to bring your app to our phone so that consumers at least will have a more or less equal experience. And even then, that generally is not enough to convince people at this point to give up their iOS and Android phones and move all of their data over to a Windows phone. I mean, they're just, you know, at this point, trying to carve out a significant enough market share as a new player into that space it's a huge, huge task.
I totally agree with you. I don't want to get too hung up on the Windows Phone as much as when you said that it's a win-win-win, where the third win was for developers. And maybe you could talk a little bit more about how the developer community wins from this act.
Well, I think, you know, and to be very clear, by developer community, I mean the vast majority of the people who I think are listening to this podcast, which is to say the .NET developer community. Because let's be blunt, one of the significant drawbacks to being a C# developer for many years was the fact that if you wanted to do anything in the mobile space, you had to learn a new programming language. I mean, if you were a Java guy, you could do Android, and that's part of the reason why the Android community took off so quickly, was because so many Java guys could very quickly pick up Android and run with it and churn out hordes, thousands of, you know, Android applications. There was very little barrier to entry there. If you were an Apple Objective-C developer, you know, okay, well, then you knew how to do iOS very quickly. But if you were a .NET developer, right, then you had to learn either Objective-C or now Swift, or you had to learn Java. You had to go move over to a completely different development environment, learn completely different idioms, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Then Xamarin comes along, right, leverages Mono and says, yeah, we can make it easier for you to build one of these applications because we are now allowing you to get to iOS and get to Android through the lens of C#. And developers, .NET developers, you know, yes, you still have to go learn the new API. That's what the Java guy had to do too. But that's actually, in many cases, the much more trivial act than having to learn the new programming language, or at least that's the perception. I personally don't believe that, but I've had enough people tell me that it's, you know, that it's that difficult to pick up a new language. Okay, fine. Now you don't even have to do that. You just have to go learn the new APIs. So in that sense, what it now means is that if you are a C# developer, you now have access to programming at every level of the stack. You can build your backend, you know, RavenDB or SQL Server. You can build your middleware tier, right? Your mid-tier ASP.NET MVC. You can now build your mobile application. You can do all of these things using C# as your programming language of choice, or F#, right? You know, I'm not even going to mention Visual Basic because, yeah, you should go learn a real language. Oh, sorry. Did I say that out loud? Damn it. But you get my point, right? As a .NET developer, you can now you can now be effective, I guess is maybe the best word. You can be an effective programmer at every level of the stack, building a mobile application and its corresponding backend. That's really what Xamarin does for the .NET developer community. And that's why it's a win for them, because now it's backed by Microsoft. It'll come out of the box with your Visual Studio subscription, and you won't have to go purchase anything else. Now, again, we don't know the details of how Microsoft is going to monetize this. You know, is this going to be in the Enterprise Edition, the Universal Edition, the Professional Edition? None of this, as far as I know, has been decided yet. But, you know, most professional development shops end up just buying the top tier, whatever, and, you know, go. So I think it's fair to say that any professional .NET developer will now have access to both the iOS and the Android communities as a developer. And as a result, you know, now they can party in the same world as all the Swift and Java developers in the mobile space using their native tongue of choice. So I think that's what makes it a big win for all these developers, is the fact that I can speak C# and be heard on the iOS and Android platform.
The only two developers or developer technology people I've ever seen get a standing ovation before they say anything are Scott Guthrie and Miguel de Casa. What do you see Miguel's role in this acquisition? Will he be active moving forward? I know this is totally speculation. Because no one has said.
Yeah, and along the lines of speculating, I think you're looking at one of two possible models here, right? One is if you look over in the Java space, there are two major acquisitions that happened in much the same way as the Xamarin one. One was when JBoss was acquired by Red Hat. And Mark Fleury was the CEO of JBoss. And he was a very controversial figure. He frequently said some very, you know, sort of ooh, sick burn kinds of things. You know, I won't go so far as to say he was the Donald Trump of the Java space, but there were a lot of people who really did not like Mark Fleury, myself included, quite frankly. He's a smart guy, but he said some really, really, you know, arrogant and stupid things. And when Red Hat acquired JBoss, basically they said, Mark, here's your payout. Have a nice day. And because they wanted the company, they didn't really want him, partly because I think he was such a polarizing figure. And he took his however many millions and, you know, basically bought a small island in the Mediterranean. And the Java world really hasn't seen him since. Another such acquisition was when Spring was acquired by VMware. Rod Johnson, who was the CEO, you know, very much the Miguel de Acasa figure for Spring. Rod was, you know, he was a part of the organization for a while, and then eventually he cut loose, took his millions, and I think now he's one of the principals in a venture capital fund. He's still somewhat involved in the Java space, but he's not so deeply tied to the Spring community anymore. And, you know, again, he's bought a small island somewhere in the Mediterranean, or maybe just off the coast of Britain, or what have you. He's set for life. But again, he's kind of moved into sort of a, what feels like sort of a semi-retirement. Miguel, however, in many respects has, I mean, Miguel, just knowing the guy as I do, I won't say that Miguel and I are best friends, but, you know, we've spent some time together. We've talked at conferences. During the MVP summit, he's been over to the house at the party that I throw here. I know him at least somewhat well. And Miguel just strikes me as a guy that has too much energy to be put out to pasture. I think Microsoft wants Miguel. I don't think they just want Xamarin. I think they want Miguel. He brings a tremendous amount of enthusiasm and energy. And quite frankly, let's be really clear. I mean, the guy is bright. You know, he could easily be, you know, software architect, or he could be a technical fellow at Microsoft. And in some respects, I would not be surprised if they bring him in at kind of a principal role, you know, overseeing some significant aspect of Visual Studio. And, you know, with the plan being a couple years at Microsoft, and we'll turn you into a technical fellow, and then you can just do whatever the heck you want, right? Kind of like an Anders type figure.
I was just going to say, can I please have lunch with Anders?
Yeah, exactly. I think that would be a really interesting conversation, you know, because I think in some ways Miguel has, I think Anders is the better technologist from the standpoint, you know, Anders has forgotten more about programming languages than most of us will ever learn. But I think Miguel has more of the non-ivory tower view in terms of how some of that technology can affect the rest of the world. But the key critical thing that Miguel has that I think nobody else at Microsoft can really claim, and the key thing I think that Microsoft would be really wise to leverage, Miguel knows open source in a way that Microsoft just never will, because that's been his life for so long. I mean, what a lot of .NET developers don't realize is before Xamarin, Miguel created the GNOME project, the user interface, the user desktop experience, etc., on top of Linux. That was his claim to fame before he created Mono, which is what led to Xamarin. So Miguel has lived this open source lifestyle for so long that if they take him out of it, I think he's going to find himself a fish out of water. But I don't think they want to take him out of it, quite frankly. I think what they really want to do is they want to say, okay, Miguel, here's what we're going to do. You're going to become a technical fellow here at Microsoft. You're going to need some time to kind of get your feet on the ground, get to understand all the major players at the top level, you know, do some photo ops with Guthrie and with Satya, and, you know, kind of get to know all the other divisions, et cetera, et cetera. But then we're going to make you a technical fellow, and we want you to teach us open source. We want you to be just an open channel. We want you to be an open resource for all things open source at Microsoft. If we wanted to open source SQL Server, God help us all, how would we do that? Would it make sense? What would be the advantages? What would be the disadvantages? How would we deal with some of the legal? And I think that, quite frankly, that represents one of the biggest acquisition possibilities for Microsoft, is to take Miguel, don't pin him down inside of Visual Studio. Quite frankly, I mean, Miguel is bigger than just is bigger than just any one technical aspect of Xamarin. Turn him loose within the company to create Microsoft as a force for open source. And, you know, I mean, obviously Microsoft still has to make money, but so did Xamarin. Somehow Miguel figured out how to make money while being a part of an open source community. Microsoft needs that almost more than they need Xamarin, the product as a whole. So that's what I would like to see them do with him, rather than just peg him to the .NET framework and Mono and say, yeah, you're a .NET guy now, so come work on this one smaller project. I think he's got much more to offer than just that simple technical expertise.